Beth went by the university to check her mail, and one of her freshman comp students was waiting for her in the faculty parking lot. Beth hadn't seen her in class for weeks, and had in fact given up on her, but now here she stood, in jeans and a t-shirt that looked slept in, shifting her weight from one dirty flip-flopped foot to the other.
Mrs. Sawyer, I know I've missed some classes, but can you give me an incomplete?
One of her pierced ears was infected. The lobe was an angry red.
You have an F, Tiffany,
Beth said mechanically, her heart beginning to pound as she unlocked her civic door. That haunted look in Tiffany's eyes, it was like Julie's, and the way she resembled a wild cat yearning for escape. Beth had that sinking feeling she always got when a student self-destructed. Every battle she fought with a student reopened a battle she'd lost with Julie.
Mrs. Sawyer, please.
The girl's bloodshot brown eyes welled.
You have to give me another chance. I got kicked out of my apartment and I've been living in my car.
What about your parents? Beth studied Tiffany's face. So many of them lied. The lies they told were endlessly brazen and inventive. Not just the grandparents dying and dogs eating homework and computer malfunctions, but wild stories about crazed roommates and bizarre accidents. If only they put half that creativity into their essays.
I can't go back home. Please, just give me an incomplete. I have to get this grade to keep my financial aid.
A bluish vein pulsed in the girl's thin neck, and her slender fingers trembled slightly. When had she eaten last? Beth's throat tightened, and she was carried back to that day with Julie, a day she yearned to have a chance to relive. She dug into her purse and pulled out a bar of Hershey's chocolate she had packed for energy during her upcoming golf round and gave it to Tiffany.
How much time do you need? She asked.
30 minutes later, Beth sat down on the wooden steps in front of the rundown Silver Lakes Pro Shop to put on her golf shoes and wait for Margot and Vanessa. A late spring breeze ruffled through the hot pink azalea blossoms, and a few petals fluttered to the ground. Stray dandelions bravely popped through a sidewalk crack next to Beth's foot. While tying her left shoe, Beth spotted another spider vein beside her knee and scrubbed her thumb over it. She suddenly had to think of sitting on the couch with Julie and Paul when they were little on Friday afternoons, watching some animated movie, her fingers tracing the fine, damp hair at her children's temples. They would still be in that position when Mark arrived home. He'd come up behind them and put his warm, capable hands on Beth's shoulders. She remembered it so clearly it could have been yesterday. That was before, when life was sweet and simple. Paul had just told her the night before that Mark was thinking about marrying Rhonda, the woman he'd been living with for the past few years. She'd always known that her husband would move on long before she could. She'd been dreading it for years. Beth gave her head a good shake to force herself back into the present when Margot pulled her SUV into the lot and stuck her head out the window.
Hey, girl, ready to bring this course to its knees?
Oh, sure, Beth said, grinning. Margot could always make her smile. Margot, tall, thin, and athletic, with a long, thick ponytail she'd let go gray, climbed out and headed around the back of her SUV to unload her clubs, then stuffed her golf glove into her back shorts pocket.
Now, should I accidentally on purpose forget to get a scorecard, or do we feel like higher math today?
Margot, a retired high school gym teacher and several years older than Beth, had kept her Maryland accent, even though she'd been living in North Carolina for close to 20 years.
Now, let's keep score. We're not that bad.
Beth followed Margot into the pro shop to check in.
Afternoon, ladies, said Vanessa, joining them inside to complete their usual threesome.
As Vanessa leaned over the counter to grab a scorecard, Beth admired her slim, dark legs and glossy black box braided hair, both of which made her look younger than her 60 years.
Did you girls notice, said Vanessa, that the membership's available sign by the club entrance has been vandalized?
Really?
Beth rolled her eyes.
Somebody changed the P in memberships to a T, so it now says membership's available.
Isn't that the most juvenile thing?
Teenagers, growled Margot. Jean and I used to live on Bonner Lane, and teenagers used to keep stealing our street sign because they thought it said Boner Lane. I wanted to say hello, spell much. Beth laughed. Have you ever known a time when Silver Lakes wasn't having a membership drive?